This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Nitric oxide is a vital signaling molecule in cardiovascular health. We all make nitric oxide in our bodies, but as we age, it starts to diminish naturally. Being proactive in maintaining nitric oxide levels is vital for healthful aging because an underperforming cardiovascular system will limit the effectiveness of any other supplementation in your regimen. Just two capsules of Berkeley Life daily provides the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support energy levels, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve general circulation. It's the professional-grade nitric oxide supplement that I recommend and prescribe for my patients. This is only available from healthcare providers. To get your Berkeley Life professional supplements, just go to drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life. You can also get Berkeley Life's patented nitric oxide test strips to conveniently test your own nitric oxide levels safely and easily at home. That's drhoffman.com/Berkeley Life for Berkeley Life nitric oxide supplements.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's an unusual day because, yeah, we don't get too many February 29ths, but it's a leap year, and here we are, and it's an opportunity to share some really important health dispatches with you as we move into March and eventual springtime. 877-726-8255 is our number, the theme, Intelligent Medicine. You can call with questions about anything you like. What's on a lot of people's minds these days is the emerging coronavirus epidemic, soon thought by some to become a pandemic. And, yeah, you can call us 877-726-8255 with questions about that or anything else related to medicine or natural health. You know, it's funny. It's really a moving target. And last week, I feel prescient because I called it. I said then, just a mere week ago, that it's not just a matter of if, but when the coronavirus will hit the United States and other major Western countries. And it appears that it is breaking through. This week, my prediction was echoed by public health officials, and it's causing widespread panic. The market tanked, losing hundreds and hundreds of points, erasing gains of many percent. And it is truly the monetization of fear. Investors are putting their money where their apprehensions are and unloading stock. The panic is actually far more viral than the disease itself so far because there's only a few dozen people in the United States who've been confirmed to have it. But we're bracing as if it's an incoming tsunami. You know, you can sort of see it on the horizon, and or the quiet before the storm, before a hurricane hits, you know, that eerie time before. I mean, you see all the predictions, but the weather is balmy, and yet you know that within a matter of a few hours or few days, you're going to be inundated. And people are bailing on their vacation plans. They're talking about canceling the Summer Olympics because of the prevalence of the virus already in Japan. I'm wondering, will I get a refund on my season tickets for the Yankees? Will there be any players left? Will there be any spectators, people coming to public places? What about Campaign 2020? All those campaign rallies, will people not show up, or will they be wearing masks? And maybe the smart move is to buy stock in Netflix and Amazon and food delivery services as people stay home and instead of going places, just, you know, watching their TV screens and carefully accepting deliveries through their doors. It could get interesting. A lot of schools with contingency plans to furlough students because of the possibility of transmission. A lot of events canceled. Some big tech conferences in Europe and in Asia canceled because they just don't want a gathering place where a lot of people from a lot of different countries can transmit the virus. Some troubling news, because in most of the cases so far, we've been able to trace the exposure. Health officials and epidemiologists have been able to trace a chain of transmission. But in California, there's a mysterious case of a woman. We have no idea how she got exposed. And that suggests that because of the long incubation time of the virus, that there are more people out there who may be slightly sick or not sick at all, but may have the ability to transmit the virus for days and days and days, perhaps before coming down sick or maybe not coming down sick at all. It's not clear where she got it. Recently, a dog even tested positive for the coronavirus. And in some troubling stories, there may be a post-viral syndrome associated with the coronavirus. You catch it, and then you recover, but you may feel debilitated for a long period of time. This is a study of people with SARS, which is a previous coronavirus, much more deadly, killing 30% of people, whereas this one appears to kill anywhere from 1 to perhaps up to 5% of people at worst. A lot of people who suffered from SARS, they recovered, but they developed long-standing debilitating fatigue akin to chronic fatigue syndrome. Also, another troubling story that once you catch coronavirus, you might be able to re-catch it or have a recurrence. It's not clear if it's what's called a biphasic disease in which you get sick and then you seem to get well and then you catch it on the rebound again. That's happened to me a couple of times when I thought I recovered from a cold or a flu, but then got slammed with the back end of it and got sick again. One of the reassuring trends, and this is based on a study just performed, just out, the study's entitled Age, Sex, and Existing Conditions of COVID-19 Cases and Deaths. They inconveniently have renamed the coronavirus COVID-19. It's a little bit of unwieldy terminology. Most people are still referring to it as coronavirus, and I think that name's going to stick despite efforts to improve on it. But when it comes to people who contracted it, who are 80 plus years old, the death rate is about 15%. However, when it comes to individuals 0 to 9 years old, reassuringly, there have been no fatalities recorded. So it doesn't afflict children. It's not going to, like the biblical plague, take the life of our firstborn. In the age group 10 to 19, 0.2%. 40 to 49-year-olds, just 0.4%. But then it spikes. As you get older, you become more vulnerable. 50 to 59 years old, 1.3%. 60 to 69 years old, we see some real vulnerability appearing, 3.6%. By the time you're 70 to 79, 8% death rate of all cases. And on it goes. But recently I read the account of a guy in the Washington Post. And the headline is, "The worst thing about my coronavirus is that I had to drink lots of Gatorade." That was the headline. And this is the story of a guy, 6 years old, and he was on that Diamond Princess cruise, cruise where it turned into a viral Petri dish, where people were quarantined aboard the Diamond Princess. And finally, this guy was evacuated under the supposition that he tested negative for coronavirus. Well, on the plane, he spiked a fever. They put him into quarantine. When he arrived in the United States, they first took him to a medical facility in California. Then they transferred him to an ultra-secure facility in Nebraska, where they're now sequestering a lot of the cases. Previously, they kept the Ebola virus patients in a place in Nebraska that's equipped to deal with the very, very stringent precautions that are necessary for a contagious virus. And they put him in a room in isolation. And he said, basically, the problem, I mean, he had a low-grade fever. They gave him some ibuprofen, and they told him to drink a lot of fluids, and he's under observation. Nobody comes into the room except, you know, wearing a space suit. And his problem is boredom. And he said, you know, he's, you know, feels a little under the weather. He says that under normal circumstances, feeling this way, he just would have gone to the drugstore and taken a cough remedy over the counter and gone to work, which under the present circumstances is not a good idea. But it kind of illustrates that there's a very, very wide spectrum of responses to coronavirus, some people getting devastating pneumonia and some people succumbing to it. But the vast majority of people having very, very mild infections, cold-like symptoms, a little fever, perhaps some respiratory symptoms, and not much more. It all depends on your underlying vulnerability. Lots of people in this country taking immunosuppressive medications with underlying conditions like diabetes, heart disease. A lot of the deaths associated with patients with pre-existing respiratory disease, heart disease, if you're running on fumes, perhaps you've had cancer chemotherapy and you're vulnerable, the death rate is going to be higher. So bottom line, you're not likely to die from this. You might get it. The biggest problem is all the dislocation that it's going to cause. And I got more to say about coronavirus, so stick with us. 877-726-8255. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Decades ago, Dr. O'Hara developed a formula for optimal human health, a blend of superfoods and live bacteria, naturally fermented for 3 years, encapsulated to deliver prebiotics, probiotics, and most importantly, postbiotics to your digestive system, aiding digestion, increasing absorption of essential nutrients, supporting the immune system, and unleashing the healthier, happier you. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, 100% vegetarian, non-GMO, free of artificial additives, chemicals, preservatives, or colorings, dairy and gluten-free. Dr. O'Hara himself proclaimed in 1974, each capsule of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is filled with our passion and hope for bringing health and long life to all 7 billion people on Earth. And today, his legacy lives on, making Dr. O'Hara's probiotics a world leader in superior probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, available online and at natural health retailers nationwide.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with one of my personal solutions to better cardiovascular health, Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. Just 2 capsules of Berkeley Life daily provide the dietary nitrate equivalent of 7 ounces of beets and can support cardiovascular health, maintain healthy blood pressure levels, and improve overall circulation. For more information and to purchase, just go to drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. drhoffman.com/berkeleylife. Berkeley Life Nitric Oxide Support Supplements. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Protocol for Life Balance. Protocol for Life Balance offers a wide range of professional-grade products using ingredients backed by strong scientific research. Among them, 3 stand out, which help support gastric health: GI Guard AM, GI Guard PM, and Peppermint Oil GI. These products can help to support GI health and promote gastric comfort. They're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. We're talking about coronavirus and other intelligent medicine issues. We'll get to other health and nutrition stories in a moment, but this is such a big story that really merits covering. 877-726-8255 if you have any questions. And remember, this number is a number where you can record a question anytime you like. So you can think of a question that comes up for you, say, on Wednesday when we're not in the air. Well, you can record a question. We'll answer your question on the air. All right. This coronavirus thing, it's going to be a big mess because it's going to really burden our hospitals. When a lot of people, I mean, you get a cold or a flu or a cough, and you pretty much know what to do. You know, you stay home, preferably, because presentism is a problem. Absenteeism is a problem. Presentism is a worse problem. That means you show up when you're sick and you make everybody else sick. That is something that we really want to campaign against. Don't push yourself to go in. I'm not going to go into the office, even, you know, if I have a cold or a flu, even if it's not coronavirus. It's just going to create widespread panic and waste of resources. We just don't have enough test kits available, and the tests are unreliable. It's remarkable. They've only tested about 10,000 people in the United States for coronavirus. The vast majority, of course, are negative because we only have a handful of cases. But during the winter and spring season, typically millions of people are sick. They're coughing, they're sneezing, they have fevers, body aches. And the vast majority of them are going to have ordinary old-fashioned colds and influenza. But there's not enough test kits to differentiate, like, you know, when do we need to go into full lockdown mode, or do we just tell people to stay home and recover on their own? Some say that CT scans are the best diagnostic tool available to determine if people have a severe case of coronavirus because it's going to affect the lungs. A vaccine is being rushed into production. Several companies are queuing up for vaccine production. But Anthony Fauci, in his press conference with the president, said that best case scenario for that is that those vaccines may be ready for testing in a few months, but only available for general use after full vetting in 12 or 18 months. So it's not going to do anything if there's an additional serious outbreak this spring or summer. Just keep in mind that, you know, you might say, well, this is an emergency. We got to, like, speed things up. Let's fast track it. Well, just want to remind you of the debacle of the swine flu vaccine during the Ford administration in the 1970s. If you can remember that far back, or if you're a student of history, in 1976, an outbreak of the swine flu, which was influenza A virus subtype H1N1, took place at Fort Dix, which is a military facility in New Jersey. It caused one death of a young recruit. And so they made a decision to rush the vaccine into production. But the vaccine was associated with numerous cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, which can cause paralysis and even respiratory arrest and death. That immunization program was ended after approximately 25% of the population of the United States had been administered that vaccine. But the Ford administration, it was under President Ford that this was done, it was really criticized for jumping the gun on a widespread vaccine program that was thought to be potentially dangerous. And by the way, the influenza pandemic did not materialize then. I mean, it was, you know, same kind of thing, you know, where they thought it was going to catch fire and in effect was a flash in the pan. And the vaccine, the treatment was worse than the disease in that particular case. So we've got to be cautious and circumspect. Yes, we should develop vaccines. Yes, we should use medications, potentially test their efficacy against this virus. But, you know, the motto in medicine is first do no harm. And it may be that hastily constructed measures may be more deleterious than helpful. 877-726-8255. More on the coronavirus in just a moment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
To find the Kyolic formula right for you, go to Kyolic.com. That's Kyolic.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and lots of alarming headlines as I look at the Drudge Report, which is kind of a news aggregator. Fauci tells lawmakers there'll be many more infected. Suspected patient isolated in New Jersey hospital, which brings it close to home. I'm here in Manhattan. Missteps at CDC. FDA reports first drug shortage. That's interesting because, you know, actually one of the more severe health consequences of this coronavirus epidemic is that we are highly reliant on production of drug raw materials, if not the actual drugs themselves, from China. Our supply chain is very reliant on the Asian connection, and with factories slowing down and grinding to a halt in China because a lot of people are quarantined, there are going to be major shortages of raw materials and perhaps actual drugs. And in addition, here, you know, should things break out, there are going to be lots and lots of people in hospital crowding other sick people out of the hospital, and there may be some real health consequences. Some more headlines. Empty shelves in Target, Walmart early as April. We only get a lot of their stuff from China. Photos of deserted, nearly empty airports around the world. The release of movies by Hollywood in China, that's a debacle because a lot of revenue from Hollywood is based on the billion-plus audience in China, on and on and on it goes. Bottom line, I, you know, am really concerned, but, and I think it's going to cause a lot of dislocation, and it may have a big impact on your 401k, at least temporarily. But you're not likely to die, especially in the U.S. No deaths reported yet here, not a single one in the United States. But you might die for lack of vital medicines that come from China. Let's consider the worst-case scenario, China. You know, let's assume that you are now in Beijing or Shanghai in China in crowded conditions, and the virus has really broken out there. Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of cases, and thousands of deaths. Worldwide, I think the toll is approaching 3,000. But it's a country of a billion people. And that still means that even if we say there are a million people in China who have the coronavirus, that's still 1/1,000th of the population of China. 99.9% of the Chinese are unaffected. So compare that with the flu. This year alone, 4 million flu cases in the United States alone. And so the other good news about this does not appear to be the 1918 flu pandemic, which killed roughly 10% of the world's population. It was very devastating. And particularly bad was the fact that it appeared not to kill just the vulnerable individuals, the very young and the very old and the very weak and people with coexisting conditions or pre-existing problems, but it killed very healthy, like military recruits and young pregnant women. It seemed to harness the mojo of your immune system. If you had a robust immune system, you would get sicker faster and die of overwhelming pneumonia. And this does not appear to be the case in relationship to this coronavirus. It seems to cull from the herd the sicker, the more vulnerable, the more debilitated, although there have been some exceptions, as with some of the younger Chinese first responder physicians in their 20s and 30s who have now succumbed to the virus. But that may be because they received an overwhelming viral load in contact with multiple patients in the early parts of this epidemic before they knew better. So the other thing they're saying that this is a man-made virus. There's a lot of conspiracy theories running around. I mean, as in the past, you know, they said that AIDS was a man-made virus. It was created by the CIA to kill gay people and African-Americans, because that predominantly affected those populations. And there's, you know, obviously no support for that. It is true that this virus emerged in close proximity to China's leading viral research facility in Hunan, in Wuhan, China, close to where those markets were that have all the exotic animals that were thought to have transmitted the virus. And some initial researchers said that the virus, you know, they analyzed its structure and they said, oh, it's very similar to the HIV virus, which could not occur in nature, that this is somehow lab created. They hybridized the ordinary cold virus or the SARS virus with an HIV virus to create a super virus as a biological warfare agent, or, you know, some such thing. Or maybe they were just testing coronaviruses, and because of sloppy lab procedure, it got out and they didn't quarantine the people rapidly enough. But all of this is a knock on the Chinese and on their secrecy and the initial suppression of the facts about this. So interesting that just a few days ago, there was a statement published in The Lancet, the world's leading scientific journal, statement in support of the scientists, public health officials, and medical professionals of China combating COVID-19. They say here, in pushing back against this theory that this is a man-made agent, they say the rapid, open, and transparent sharing of data on this outbreak is now being threatened by rumors and misinformation around its origins. We, that's the signers of this letter, and they're all important public health officials from across the world, we stand together to strongly condemn conspiracy theories suggesting that COVID-19 does not have a natural origin. Scientists from multiple countries have published and analyzed genomes of the causative agent, severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2, SARS-CoV-2. That's name is not going to stick because that's a much more unwieldy name than just good old-fashioned coronavirus. But that's the scientific name. And they overwhelmingly conclude that this coronavirus originated in wildlife. Conspiracy theories do nothing but create fear, rumors, and prejudice that jeopardize our global collaboration in the fight against this virus. We want you, the science and health professionals of China, to know that we stand with you in your fight against this virus. Okay, it's all very supportive of the courageous health officials on the front lines in China. We wish them well. And I kind of doubt that this is a man-made virus, because Mother Nature has done very nicely to create population-killing epidemics from almost the dawn of recorded time. You know, it's recorded as far back as ancient Greece and Babylonia and Egypt, these plagues that periodically come and go and on their own. You know, it's just nature and how viruses morph and change and periodically emerge, become more deadly, and kill humans. The other encouraging note is that this too shall pass. I mean, every viral epidemic, no matter how deadly it has been since the dawn of mankind, has dissipated. The Black Plague ravaged Europe and then mysteriously receded. And there's also some encouraging potential news about what happens in the warmer months. There's some information on warm weather coronavirus transmission. Will warming spring temperatures slow the coronavirus outbreak? It's true that one of the reasons why we get more colds and flus in the winter, several reasons. One is that viruses seem to be best preserved at temperatures around 40 degrees. They still can survive at higher temperatures and lower temperatures, but their sweet spot is around 40 and change degrees. Will warming spring temperatures slow it? Another thing about winter is that because of our indoor heating and the lack of humidity generally during the winter, nasal passages dry out, rendering them more vulnerable to infection. You can keep your nasal passages healthier by using such products as clear nasal spray or some saline nasal spray. Also, sunlight, keep in mind, is the best disinfectant. It, you know, ultraviolet radiation kills viruses on the spot, and being in the sunlight may not be a bad idea when it comes to this virus transmission. And summer months will bring more convenient exposure to ultraviolet radiation. Also, people don't congregate inside as much during summer months, although, yeah, it's changing with air conditioning, but we get outside more, and, you know, indoor trapped viruses and pathogens do better when we close the windows and don't allow air circulation. So is this, you know, a world-ending phenomenon? Will it be the zombie apocalypse? You know, I just feel sorry for people who have obsessive compulsive disorder, chronic hand washers, germophobes, because, you know, they're really in trouble, you know, just from a standpoint of mental hygiene. Hand washing could slow down the epidemic, according to a study done at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. They did a study using epidemiological modeling and database simulation. They say that one of the ways that this gets transmitted is in airports, and a large number of people do not wash their hands after using the restroom. They say that 70% of the people who go to the toilet wash their hands afterwards, and 30% don't, and those that do wash their hands, only 50% do it right. They do it in a cursory way, not for 20 seconds and then drying their hands with a clean towel, scrubbing and, you know, getting under their fingernails. They say that after analyzing 120 airports, which could be sources of transmission of the virus, by the way, airports in Tokyo, Japan, and Honolulu are likely to be key players in the spread of disease due to the fact that they offer direct connections to many of the world's largest airports and have connections to, of course, Asia, which is the ground zero for the virus. But they did some modeling, computer modeling, and what they found that if 60% rather than 20% of air travelers maintain clean hands, it could slow down the spread of infections by almost 70%, according to the researchers. And even increasing the number of people with clean hands by 10% could slow down the rate at which disease can spread by as much as 24%. So, and just by identifying the 10 most important airports close to the source of an outbreak, implementing an educational hand-washing campaign in each of these could put major speed bump into the rapidity of spread of this outbreak. So simple measures, you know, all the things we talk about for supporting immunity and good hygiene could slow the onslaught of coronavirus. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands. Why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol. Available at Walmart, CVS, Whole Foods, Rite Aid, and everywhere else. Or clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Now go wash your nose.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today, available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
To find the Kyolic formula right for you, go to Kyolic.com. That's Kyolic.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And 877-726-8255 is our number. And you can call us about coronavirus. We'll open it up to any topic you like. Let's start with a call that someone recorded.
I'm calling for my cousin. He's 75 years old. You cured him of his Barrett's esophagus with your protocol. Any supplements you recommend to remove plaque or lessen plaque from the carotid arteries? He's currently on Lipitor and high blood pressure medicine. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, it's gratifying to hear that I cured him of Barrett's esophagus. For a listening audience, it's a precancerous condition where it might ultimately lead to esophageal cancer. And many patients are relegated to a lifetime of being on acid-blocking medication with all the attendant side effects when they have a diagnosis of Barrett's esophagus, because it's thought that the acidity accelerates the changes in the cells that lead to cancer, and, you know, that's not good. So one of my favorite things to treat, and there, you know, is an initial nutritional approach to prevention of Barrett's esophagus, and it I'm extremely gratified because a lot of our patients who check in with Barrett's esophagus, they come back a year or two or five later, and repeat endoscopy shows that they're clear of these precancerous cells. So that's great to hear. All right, so when it comes to arterial plaque, it's a complicated thing because arterial plaque is the end game of a variety of pathological processes that culminate in inflammation of the arteries and deposition of calcium. Calcium is kind of the spackle that the body uses to repair injury. And when there's injury to the arterial wall, calcium accumulates. Eventually, it can actually occlude the arteries. So it is not something. It's not, we're not treating the calcium per se. We want to treat the underlying processes that lead to the inflammation. So is it that this individual has a lot of inflammation? Is it that this individual has insulin resistance? Is it that this person has high blood pressure or abnormal blood sugar a improper balance of their cholesterol to HDL? Or do they have an elevated Lp(a)? Or do they have a high homocysteine? Or, you know, any number of lack of essential fatty acids, magnesium deficiency. Many factors enter into this, and we like to break it down so we can say, you know, let's eliminate the cause. But of all the things that help arterial plaque, in my mind, the most targeted to the problem of calcium deposition in the arterial wall is vitamin K. And there's a specific subtype of vitamin K, MK7. It's a subtype of vitamin K2 that is particularly helpful. It's part of what's called the Dutch paradox, which means that the Dutch consume a lot of cheese that's high in saturated fat and cholesterol, and yet are remarkably free of atherosclerotic disease, and that's because their diets are among the highest in the world in vitamin K2, which comes from fermented cheese. The number one food product worldwide that is high in vitamin K2, or MK7 specifically, is natto, which is really an acquired taste. They consume a lot of it in Japan. It's fermented soy, kind of like soy cheese, and a lot of Americans find it repugnant. but it really does work to reduce arterial plaque. And so too does do supplements of vitamin K. They're called MK7, and I use them a lot in patients who are prone to cardiovascular disease. So that is something that you can use. You know, fish oil, curcumin, EGCG, resveratrol, pycnogenol, all these, you know, bergamot, berberine, all these can be part of a program to reduce risk of cardiovascular disease. But we'd like to, you know, find out the origins of this. All right, this time, I'm going to call this the duh story of the month. We'll finish this hour with this story. Healthy lifestyle and life expectancy free of cancer, cardiovascular disease, and type 2 diabetes is related to, surprise, surprise, healthy lifestyle factors. Not smoking, keeping your body mass index below 25, moderate to vigorous physical activity 30 minutes per day, moderate alcohol, and a high diet quality score resulted in 11 disease-free years of additional longevity and wellness for women, 8.5 disease-free years of longevity and wellness for men, according to a big study. They conclude that a healthier lifestyle was associated with a lower risk of dying, increased total life expectancy in healthy years. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. We'll be right back.